I didn't used to know who he was.
No,
but I do now. Hallelujah. Thank you. Brother Butch, would you pray for us, please? Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help, tell me. We'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read by schedule, but everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. Free of charge. Now, we didn't do that great on our review last week. Let's try it again. Over here on this side on the right, Brother Matthew wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a king, is right. And where does his book start?
Bethlehem.
Down through here, Brother Mark wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a
servant,
is right. No genealogy. Anybody can be a servant. Anybody can get in the family this morning. Where's he start his book? Yeah, Bethlehem. That's right. Down through here, how about Brother Luke? He wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a man. Dr. Luke, the physician, wrote from the man side. Where's his book start? Bethlehem is right. Over here, Brother John, he wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as God is correct. Where's his book start? In the beginning. Where else? In the bosom. That's right. Where are we in the book of John? 13's correct. We tried to start chapter 13 last week. Let's look at it again here. Anyone remember the title? How about the talk in the upper room? It could be the talk in the upper room. And that's not all. It could be looking to the cross when double-crossed. See, after Calvary, everything's easy. It's easy to follow. The Lord had the rough part. That's what I should have got. He got my desserts, and I got His. It's the way it goes. Verses 1 through 3 is about the table. You see it right in the beginning. Now, before the feast, Israel came out for a feast in the wilderness. That was the purpose, Exodus 5:1. This chapter is also about one who knows it all. Not a smart aleck like Brother Rick, but he really does know everything. Omniscient, knows everything. You see it right here in verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, he knew it. Up in verse 3, knowing, Jesus knowing. Verse 11, for he knew. Verse 19, and before it come. See, I'm going to go ahead and tell you about it before it gets here so that you'll know. And He knows. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He doesn't just know. He didn't just take attendance this morning and know that I'm here. No, no, no. He knows why I'm here. He knows why you came. He knows why I came. We're talking about the Lord of glory is what we're talking about. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Those He loves like He loves to the end. He loves forever. He'll never quit. He'll never quit. We're looking at the table. Here's the facts and feelings about it. This is how He feels about it. Verse 2 is the foe. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 3 is the future. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand, and that He was come from God and went to God. Now, verse 4 to 17 is the towel. The towel. He didn't cast in the towel, I'm glad. One of the disciples should have volunteered to wash the feet, but they didn't. They didn't. So many times I don't volunteer. That rule's only good for military. I need to volunteer. Sometimes I need to volunteer. Somebody should have. Verse 4. Here's the demonstration of His humility. He, rising from supper, laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. He's getting ready to wash Judas's feet, and a little bit later, Judas is going to pierce his. Going to pierce the Lord's feet. Luke 22. Luke 22, 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For where there is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. His humility. And then Peter quibbles about it. He's told the Lord before what he could do and what he could not do, and now he's going to tell him how to do it. Sounds familiar. I know you all don't do that, but that sounds like me, I think. Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head, everything. He wants washed all over now that he figures some things out. Verse 10 and 11, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. He knew one of them was. But for he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. There's a radical problem going around, and it's that we all die. We all got a sin problem, and because of sin, we die. It took a radical solution, and that's God's blood.
Right.
The blood of Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. And when He washes us in His blood, He puts us in the family, and we're clean forever. But walking through this dusty world, it's like the Bible times. We get our feet dusty, and we need cleansed daily. And the washing of the Word is a radical cleansing for that. A daily, recurrent cleansing in our daily walk. Let's look at it in John 17, 17 here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The water of the word. Are you reading the Bible every day? There's another Bible readers banquet coming up in January, good Lord willing. John 13, 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I've done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Everyone in the room is ashamed except Judas. The happiest in the room is Jesus. The happiness is when we're serving, or when we do. A lot of times we run into the word do, and trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. To care for others. And no task is too menial. And the Lord's showing us this right here. No service too great. He laid aside His dignity. He came from heaven where everybody wants to go and came as a servant. Some have elevated this to a church ordinance, but there's only two ordinances, baptism and communion.
That's right.
1 Peter 5, 5. A Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. We're all to be servants. Everybody, like Brother Mark said. Now back to John 13:14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I ought to be willing to. I ought to do it when the chance comes. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Jesus is God. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do. That's where your happiness comes from. Not knowing, but obeying. Let's check it out in Matthew 20. Matthew 20:25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see it again in James 2. It's my duty and my debt. The Lord here is the most humble person that's ever been, being our example. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And then I'm saved to work. I'm not saved by works.
Right.
You can't get the cart before the horse, or you will be miserable. We're saved to work, not by works. We're saved for a purpose. James 4:17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. This verse catches me more than any other, I believe. Verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There was three places yesterday I thought I should have been. I only was able to go to one of them. I'm always getting tripped up in my own coattail, my own britches, my own bibs. Verse 18. 18-22, John 13:18-22. The traitor expected. The Lord expected, and the Lord knew that there was a traitor. He knew it. He's expecting him. Here he is in 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am He. I am that Old Testament name for God. I am He. I am God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall, telling the future again, omniscient again, one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another doubting of whom he spake. They all took turns saying, is it I? Is it I? Sometimes I wonder, is it I? Well, let's look at it in 12:4. He told us this is the traitor expected. 12:4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. And then in 13:11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. And then we just read verse 21, Psalm 41:9. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And then Matthew 26:50. He was in the circle, maybe not the inner circle, but he was in the circle. Matthew 26:50. And Jesus said unto him, friend. You know, that's capitalized and it's in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah.
The Lord still gave Judas a chance right to the very end.
Right.
He could have turned at any time. He could have changed his mind and heart at any time, but he chose not to. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Okay, back to John 13 now, starting in verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, Brother John, he never calls himself by name. It's always, I think, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how he refers to himself. That's how John does. 24, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Now also, Brother John represents the church. And here's another proof right here that Peter's not the Pope, because he's going through the church to get to Jesus. Peter is. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then laying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Here's the traitor exposed. He was expected, and now he's exposed. He needed him to leave the room so he could talk intimately with his disciples, with his apostles, with his followers. Now, there were no chairs normally there, and tables down low, and they're sitting on the floor, and part of the purpose for leaning on each other. It's not, well, chapter 21. We see another picture of this. He whom Jesus loved. 21:7, we see example of this. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And then in verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That's what the church does. That's what those that have been born again do, is follow. That's what saved people do, is follow. That's what the church does. Which also, leaning on his breast at supper, said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? That's when he said it. In the past, in chapter 13. Okay, back to John 13. 24, here again. 24, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And he then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it. The sop would be compared to a modern day bread. Biscuit and gravy. Sopping up that plate. I think we all understand. The others didn't suspect. They didn't catch on. The Lord had appealed to his conscience in the past, and now he's appealing to his heart, giving him one more chance to repent, to turn, to change his mind and not be a traitor. The 27 now, the traitor expelled by him. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. He said, okay, go ahead. He said, I'm ready to go home. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Judas and the devil. He goes into eternal darkness is where he's going to now. Let's look at that in Proverbs 6. The Lord, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. Judas is the exact opposite of Jesus. And Proverbs 6, here's a good picture of Judas. And the Lord does not want us to be like him. In chapter Proverbs 6, starting in 16. I think Judas has all six of these qualities. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. It'd be a good picture of Judas. And the causes of ignorance, number one is degeneracy. Maybe you look around, read the newspaper, that's growing worse and worse. See, we're not evolving, we're devolving. Man's getting, I'm worse than my father was, and he was worse than his father was, and we're going down. We're not getting better, we're going down. You don't have to look very far. Ephesians 4:18. It's not true. There's a spark of divinity in every person and it just needs fanned. That's not true. That's a devil's lie. We're all wicked. I should be making bricks this morning. Should be in hell. Yeah. Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened. Do you remember that? You remember when you saw the light? See, we haven't always seen it. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance. See, I didn't know which way was up. That is in them because of the blindness of the heart. Psalm 82:5. Going to be hard to find something good about man in the Bible. In the real Bible. Psalm 82:5. They know not. I'm talking about ignorance. You remember when you didn't know? I didn't know. I about died and went to hell going to church. I did not know which way was up. I didn't. They knew not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. We're talking about ignorance. 2 Timothy 3:7. I haven't always had a haircut. 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You remember that? You remember? Doubt. Doubt. The Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant about doubt. How about 1 Timothy 1:13? Who was before a blasphemer? Don't raise your hand. A persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy. There it is, Brother Jerry. It's mercy that he fools with any of us. It's mercy he comes by my way every morning. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. In unbelief. Ignorance. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about darkness. 1 John 2:11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Ignorance. We're talking about ignorance. And much ignorance is deliberate. Deliberate. It's on purpose. Let's look at that in Job 21. 14. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Now that's not you. You came this morning. You wanted to learn something about his ways. Deliberate ignorance. Matthew 13:15. It can happen. These are warnings to us. Matthew 13:15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal him. See, they would not. They could not. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. Earlier in the chapter, He gave them up. He gave them up, and now He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I had to go out of my way to do the things that I did. 2 Peter 3:5. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We're talking about deliberate ignorance. Then Zechariah 7. Zechariah 7. 11 and 12. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped the ears, and that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in His Spirit by the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. And then the last verse on this, well, maybe, Jude 4, ignorance of devious men. We don't want to be ignorant of devious men, deceivers. Deceivers. Jude, verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is in complete control, and He lets Judas know, I'm ready. Go ahead. Go ahead. No drama. 2 Corinthians 5:19. No worry. Second Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Okay, back to John 13 now. Verse 28 and 29. The superior position. No one suspected, because this is the treasure. This is the treasure. This would be like if Brother Carl or Brother Tom was the treasure. They're not even close to it. They're real belief. This is, no one suspected Judas. He was the treasure. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we may have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. I get messed up a lot of times assuming. They were assuming. Verse 30, this is Judas and the darkness. And then, having received the sop, went immediately out. It was night. Again, eternal darkness. Judas leaves the light, the capital L light, the big L light. Henceforth his name means treachery. No one even names their dog Judas. Judas is gone. Let's look at it in Jude 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This is where Judas went. He went to his own place. A familiar friend now becomes a familiar fiend.
Yeah.
He sold him out. He's a traitor. He enters into eternal nighttime. He's never happy again. He excommunicated himself. God does not send us to hell. People send themselves by rejecting Christ.
Right.
Then God endorses their decision. He doesn't do it. When man accepts Christ, God seconds the motion. And He receives the man. Another commandment. Let's go just a little bit farther. John 13, 31. Therefore, when he was going out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have a good haircut. No. If you went to the right school. No. If you put money in the pot. If you be good. No. If you have love one for another. He's getting ready to go home. And he said, look, y'all need each other.
Right. That's exactly right.
That's what he's telling us this morning. We need each other. We need each other. He's on his way home. He's starting home. Back to the glory he laid aside. The road's going to be steep and rough. No man knew how deep or dark the waters were that Jesus passed through for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Christ's name. Amen.